Hello, and welcome to a special Strong Style Story pod blast here at Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. I am your usual host selector, Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter, and the blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. The reason I'm recording this is I am actually live in Daytona Beach, Florida. Last night was the CEO X NJPW When Worlds Collide show, and instead of going to San Francisco, we decided to take a trip down here and have a little vacation. So, taking a little bit of time here while Uruguay and Portugal play in the World Cup, and to go ahead and talk about the show. And actually, a lot of this is probably going to be me basically reiterating things that you can see on the blog. It's the top post at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, but, you know, just to give an idea from somebody that was actually there. First of all, the line was really long to get in, and it turns out there were periods of time when there was no movement. We found out why, and this actually contributed to one of the problems of the show, which was the delays that happened, because there was an issue, apparently, with the electronic ticketing system, and that held up things for quite a while, and in fact, when I finally got up there, and I had, of course, my tickets in my phone, because that's how Ticketmaster sold it to us, there was just a guy with a hand clicker, you know, to tick numbers off, and, you know, nobody ever scanned anything, so that kind of contributed to the issues that led to, basically, for all intents and purposes, an hour and a half delay in starting the show. The time on the ticket said it was supposed to start at 8:30 p.m. The main show basically didn't start until 10 p.m. So, not really a good look for a company that's trying to expand internationally and, you know, act as a competitor for WWE. That wasn't a good look. Basically, doing the typical U.S. indie, you know, starting late, and who cares? But by the time they got things going, there were two dark matches that were not listed on the original card. One of them, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about, because the opening match was apparently, to read from Kenny Omega's own tweet, saying that it was help from a local wrestling school because they had to get a ring from somewhere, and that's going to play into some of the criticism of this event. But the opening match was Chasen Rance against Aaron Epic. Aaron Epic, you had to do some digging to find it, but Aaron Epic apparently has some accusations of domestic violence hanging over him. That one, you had to do a little bit of digging for that one. But if you Google Chasen Rance, and he has a very unique way of spelling his name, and it turns out this is his name. It is his legal name. But the first hit on Google is the fact that in 2010, Rance was arrested for soliciting a minor, coercing them across state lines, and having sex with them. He is a registered sex offender. And about, you know, the fifth hit on Google is his listing from this, you know, the state sex offender registry. What's even more telling is the fact that they did not announce the talents in this match. So even though the crowd seemed to be moderately into it, I think they were just ready to see any sort of pro wrestling at this point, to be honest. And I don't think this was all necessarily a wrestling crowd. This was part of the CEO gaming event. I think we're going to find out a good chunk of these folk were not, you know, necessarily New Japan fans. Or even pro wrestling fans. The commentators, from what I understand, were all video gaming commentators. So, but I have nothing to say about the Twitch stream because I wasn't there. But haven't watched the Twitch stream. I was actually in attendance. So, but Kenny Omega needs maybe to do a lot more due diligence next time when booking a show. And I've already seen some remarks of his on Twitter saying something to the effect of he didn't feel he was working with criminals, but, you know, unfortunately, feelings sometimes will betray the facts will betray your feelings. And the fact is that, yes, you still put a registered sex offender on a New Japan branded show. And that's not a very good look at all. For a company that is trying to expand internationally, to be put in that situation, because this will definitely come back to haunt both Kenny Omega and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And given the I'm sorry, I was distracted by Cristiano Ronaldo for a minute here. I mean, he's a very, you know, distracting man, of course. You know, considering the month of June that Kenny Omega's had, which, you know, admittedly started with winning the IWGP title, but then getting rightly blasted, in my opinion, for cutting several promos that basically came across as race baiting against Japanese wrestlers, and a lot of the conflict that's come from that amongst, you know, Twitter folk, especially, and I'm, you know, not proud to admit that, you know, I was caught up in some of that conflict, but, you know, you're going to have that, you know, without, you know, hot button issue like that. But, you know, the fact is that Kenny Omega did not do his due diligence for a show that he facilitated and he, you know, booked, and he added the New Japan Pro Wrestling branding to. And that's something that they're going to have to rightly, you know, take on the chin and, you know, maybe do better next time, I should think. But, I mean, not to mention, you know, Aaron Epic, who, again, also has accusations of domestic violence against him, which, again, that one, he had to do a little bit more digging on that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that did not... That really cast a pall over things. Now, not in the live sense, of course. I'm just talking about for my own enjoyment, because, of course, I was also following along and live tweeting the event, too. And, you know, again, you can see the Ed Strong Style story without the Ian Style on Twitter. The second match, which is, you know, where Kenny Omega wants to take responsibility for, because he claims that he just let, you know, the school in question that was loaning them the ring book this match. And we need to talk about that ring for a second, too, because that ring, first of all, squeaked the entire night. I mean, I noticed a lot of people were tweeting about it because it was getting cut, you know, picked up on the house, on the mics for the audio setup. But, yeah, at a certain point, we could hear it from where we were, and we were up in the... We were in the upper balcony, and we could hear the ring squeak, but also the ring ropes were extremely loose, and I think we all know that that could lead to a lot of safety concerns if the ropes are too loose, you know, especially somebody going up for a top rope move and such. Like, I think we all know what can happen there. So, you know, if it came down to we needed a ring, I think you could have done better on that one, quite frankly. But then we get the second match, which it was a dark match, which had Michael Nakazawa, ex of DDT, and, you know, good friend of both Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. And, in fact, apparently Nakazawa helped Ibushi get into Florida when he somehow screwed up his flight schedule. So Kota Ibushi was lost in America at one point during this past week. But Michael Nakazawa came out to the ring and basically cut a cheap heat promo, you know, saying that, you know, the Japanese people and Japanese wrestlers are far superior to Americans in an obvious turn on what Kenny Omega had been quoted, you know, in earlier weeks this, you know, earlier this month, saying, about the Japanese wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, it was done for cheap heat, and then at that point, some indie wrestler, I don't know, it was probably from this school that brought us the registered sex offender and the person accused of domestic violence, but he basically got washed by Nakazawa and quick time, including, you know, the old jockstrap spot that he used to pull from DDT. But then out comes CEO J.E. Bailey. I don't know his actual name because I'm not in video gaming circles, but essentially he's the CEO of CEO, and he came out first on a mobility scooter. And then he had to be lifted into the ring because he legit did some ankle damage to himself in prep for this match, from what I understand. So, but long story short, he got over. They had a quick, clusterfuck of a match, and CEO J.E. Bailey beat Michael Nakazawa, to which, afterwards, Kenny Omega came out and cut a quick promo saying, "Hey, yeah, we're gonna have a great time. Sorry for all the delays, but here's another 15-minute delay in the show." So, yeah, it got off to a real rocky start. But admittedly, once the main show started getting going, it was a fun time. Jushin Thunder Liger, of course, went over Rocky Romero with a Liger bomb. Crowd was totally eating up everything that Liger did. It was amazing. Liger still gets all the love in the world, and rightly so, as he's hitting into his twilight years as an active wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling. The match after that, I did not have high hopes for this, and I'm not gonna go so far to say it was a good match, but it was entertaining and it did not bore me. It was the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa beating Juice Robinson and David Finlay. Tama Tonga getting the pin on Finlay after a gun stun. I'm not gonna go as far to say it was a good match, but it was not boring, which sometimes that's the best you can hope for, and at a bare minimum, is that it doesn't bore you, and it did not. The match following that was Jeff Cobb, now we know the challenger for the NEVER title against Goto at G1 Special in San Francisco. He beat Chase Owens of the Bullet Club with a tour of the islands. Chase Owens, it seems, is now gone full on as a comedy wrestler with the way he was trying to banter Jeff Cobb and kept running to the referee claiming he pulled my ears, he grabbed my tights, etc. But it was an entertaining match, some entertaining spots like Chase trying to lift Jeff Cobb up for the package driver, and of course it did not work. And, among other things, Chase Owens really does have some ability. I just, he's just now been relegated to a comedy spot. And maybe he needs to just run with it, because, I'm not sure how much else is going to be. Afterwards, there was another intermission, which initially I groaned at, but then I realized I could go get another beer in the process. So I went and did just that. Came back. This was probably the best match of the night, in which Ryusuke Taguchi and Dragon Lee beat Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K. This was probably the best match of the night, if I'm to be honest. The crowd was super into this match. Everybody was in top form. A lot of crowd, the crowd being wowed by it. Roppongi 3K are pretty over, even though a lot of the people who were cheering for Sho and Yo were also the same ones who were booing Rocky Romero against Jushin Liger. So, and Rocky Romero did of course show up during the match, to try to interfere. It didn't really work, and Taguchi ended up getting the win. He pinned Yo with a sort of cradle reversal. I can't really describe it. I'm not sure what it's actually called, and I was about three beers in at that point, so I could be forgiven for not remembering every single detail at that point. The main event, of course, was the Golden Lovers against Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi. The crowd were way into this, and for Omega to claim that Naito's shtick can't get over with an international audience, Naito probably had the biggest pop of the night, if we're honest. I mean, yes, even bigger than Kenny Omega, believe it or not. From where we were sitting, anyway, it sure seemed that way. That the crowd was way into Naito and Hiromu, and especially into Daryl Jr., who was there. And in fact, at the beginning of the match, we thought we were going to get another callback to DDT with we thought Kota Ibushi was actually going to wrestle Daryl Jr. for a hot second, but no, it was all a ruse, and we had the regular tag team match. I will say that this match had some hellified neck bumps on it. Ibushi took a real nasty bump to his neck off of Hiromu's sunset flip powerbomb to the floor spot, which, you know, is always a distinct possibility with that spot. But also, Naito was a cause for some legit concern for a little while, because towards the end of the match, Omega went for a powerbomb, which, you know, on Naito, which, you know, Ibushi turned into a German suplex, and Naito took a bad bump on his neck, and in fact, he was laying out the rest of the match. There was some concern whether or not he was, you know, this was just some epic selling by Naito, or this was a, you know, it was a legit injury. And he did end up walking out with some help, but yeah, there's we're going to keep an eye on that for the time being. But and afterwards, Kenny Omega cut another promo, and he, you know, where he among other things, he talked about how you know, about Ibushi's flight issues and how Nakazawa helped those out. And then he also mentioned, he tried to walk back the comments about the Japanese wrestlers. He admitted that, you know, I made some disparaging remarks about the Japanese wrestlers, and but, you know, without them we wouldn't be here, which, you know, yeah, no shit, buddy. You know, it just seemed like a little bit of walking back. I think maybe somebody gave him a talking to and said, yeah, you know what, maybe you shouldn't do this. But, you know, I think he maybe needs another talking to, because the cheap heat through Nakazawa, you know, kind of just added to an already not good situation with booking, again, a registered sex offender versus someone who is, you know, accused of domestic violence. And I don't think that, you know, there were, Kenny Omega did a lot of his due diligence, you know, did any due diligence in order to, you know, make sure that people maybe, you know, weren't, you know, feeling threatened or unsafe at this show. And, you know, and given the environment, you know, in you know, the fighting game environment of CEO, and given, you know, everything that's gone on, you know, since, you know, 2014 with Gamergate and everything else, you know, this really was not the place to be, you know, giving this message, especially, you know, again, when you're under the New Japan banner, you know, when you've booked this show to be under the New Japan banner, and, you know, it's not a good look. I mean, the delays to my, you know, the delays look unprofessional, but to not, you know, do your research and, you know, realize who you're booking. Again, it is the literal first hit on Google for Chase and Rance, is the fact that he was arrested for having sex with a 15-year-old girl back in 2010. And it is, you know, the fifth hit is his listing in the offender registry. This was not hard to do. And, you know, again, as I saw somebody on Twitter mention, You have to get a criminal background check to get a job at a gas station now. And we can't have the second biggest promotion, wrestling promotion in the world figure this out? Yeah, this is not a good look at all. I'm just going to go say that overall, despite the main card being entertaining, but between the delays and, the two dark matches were absolute disasters on so many levels. This show, honestly, was a wash. I still had a good time in the end, but it almost seems like that's secondary to all the issues that happened. And I know that, they really didn't encounter this many issues when they were doing the G1 specials last year in Long Beach or at Strong Style Evolved, although that show just went a little way longer than it should have, much like this one, but for differing reasons. And with G1 special in San Francisco coming up next week, let's be honest, with the Bullet Club running their all-in show on September the 1st, I'm really hoping that they learn from this. And see what they should not do on these shows, because this is, I'm getting to the point of rambling, I guess. But, I'm not going to say I regret coming here, because I don't. I still enjoyed the show. I met some great people, although I missed one person in particular. I'm not going to say who it was, but I missed one person in particular that I was hoping to see. And it just didn't work out because we didn't get out of the venue until after midnight. And, even when trying to walk over to Jimmy Hart's bar across the street from our hotel at the Mayan Inn, even it was closed by then. So, I don't regret coming here. I think that Kenny Omega really just needs to do better in general, because this has not been a banner month of June for him, as far as the person Kenny Omega, the person behind Kenny Omega, not necessarily just winning the IWGP title, but I think with the promos he's cut about Japanese wrestlers and now legitimately booking a registered sex pest on a New Japan show, I think. Some brains need to be getting engaged here. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm not going to probably go back to the beach in a little bit here, but I'm also going to watch the second half of the World Cup here. Uruguay is winning 1-0. Keep in mind that there are two shows happening in the UK with New Japan talent. I'm probably not going to blog on those just yet. I also know that there was New Japan talent on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I don't know much about that, except that Dalton Castle retained the title, which makes me kind of happy. So, but with that being said, once again, you can follow me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. You can probably see me write this a lot more coherently on there. And of course, you have been listening to this through Place of E Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. You just keep listening to this and other fine shows on the network. We are planning to do another round of shows, probably another two-part episode in time, to cover the G1 special. Probably talk more about this show, if we're honest, because this was just me. I'm sure my co-hosts are going to want to get some words in about it as well. And then, of course, we will be previewing G1 Climax. So, anyway, hope everyone has a good holiday period if you're celebrating it. If not, hope you enjoyed CEO X New Japan as much as you could. I hope you enjoyed G1 special in San Francisco and the British shows as well. So, on behalf of Place to Be Nation, Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed, I have been Jeffrey Wessel. Thanks for listening to this Pod Blast. Take care. Goodbye.